Reading from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, entitled Talk Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, text number 83. Eta and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. Purport: The material creation is the spirit soul's dream. Actually, all existence in the material world is a dream of Mahavishnu, as the Brahma Samhita describes. Yaha karanarnava jale bhajatisma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma koopaha. The material world is created by the dreaming of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is the spiritual world. But when the spirit soul wants to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is put into this dreamland of material creation. After being in contact with the material modes of nature, the living entity develops the subtle and gross bodies. When the living entity is fortunate enough to associate with Sri Narad Mahamuni or his servants, he is liberated from the dreamland of material creation and the bodily conception of life. My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. Hare Krishna. So we are in the concluding section of Narada's instructions to King Prachina Bahishad. And herein, Maitreya Rishi is describing the Phalastuti of anyone who describes this episode of Puranjan with faith, or anyone who hears this episode of Puranjan. What is the result? Sa lingena vimuchyate. He is liberated from the bodily conception of life. Srila Prabhupada's purport is very interesting, and Srila Prabhupada is beginning the purport by saying, this material creation is the spirit soul's dream, and is also explaining how the material creation is Mahavishnu's dream. So, the dream of the living entity is the material creation, and the dream of Lord Mahavishnu is the material creation. So, we will discuss today the different references of dream in the Srimad Bhagavatam, different analogies that are given about dream in terms of the living entity, and try to see how each of this analogy is applicable in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. So, we will be seeing seven different analogies which are there in Bhagavatam. There are several more, but these seven are very relevant and particular. So, these seven analogies are: first is dream and illusion of one's identity. Second is dream and family relationships. Third is dream and the different processes mentioned in the Vedas. Fourth is dream and satisfaction. Fifth is dream, the soul and the super soul. Sixth is dream and continuation of material life. And seventh is dream and remembrance of previous lives. So we shall discuss these seven different analogies and also try to see how each of this fits in the life of Dhruva. First is illusion of one's identity. So, in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse which describes about how in a dream there is mistaken identity of one's own self. It explains, Yatha shushupta purusho vishvam pashyati atmani atmanam ekadeshastham manyate swapna utthita evam jagaranadini jivasthanani chatmana maya matrani vigyaya tadrashtaram param smaret. Three states are described in this verse. First is shushuptaha, or sleeping state. Second is swapna uttitah, which means one is now out of his sleeping state, out of his dream, but is still lying in the bed. Swapna uttitah. And third is jagaranadini, which means once one is out of the dream, one is awake, but one is out of bed and is now working, brushing his teeth, shaving, going to office, etc. So three states, shushuptah, second is swapna uttitah, and third is jagaranadini. So very beautifully, these three states have been described. First is shushuptah. Shushuptah means one is in the sleeping state. And when one is in the sleeping state, then a person is dreaming. And in the dream, a person is thinking of himself to be something else. Just like there are two kinds of misidentifications in a dream. One is, a person may think himself to be a bird flying in the sky. A person has seen a bird and a person has also seen himself. So a person may see in his dream that he is flying in the sky with wings attached to his body. So he is mistaken in his identity. Now he is thinking he is a bird with a human body flying in the sky. And the second case of mistaken identity is that he is thinking himself to be something else. I am the Prime Minister. I am the President. He is thinking he is a human being, not a flying bird. But thinking himself to be a human being is thinking that he is the President, he is the Prime Minister, he is the Master, he is the Owner, and so on and so forth. So these two mistaken identities can be seen in one's dream, in the Shushuptah stage or in the sleeping state. Then what are the two awakened states? One awakened state is Swapna Uttitah, when one gets up from his sleeping state. When he gets up from his sleeping state, what does he find? Eka Disha Sthitam. He is lying in the bed and he looks at himself and thinks, oh, I am not a bird flying in the sky, but I am a human being. So one mistaken identity, that I am a bird flying in the sky, is driven away when one finds after waking up that he is a human being. And second mistaken identity, that I am Prime Minister or I am President, is driven away in the third state, Jagaranadini. When he is in his Jagarana state, when he gets out of his bed and he moves around, he is reminded, I am not the President, but I am a clerk working in such and such office. I am not the Prime Minister of India. I am just an ordinary middle class man with a family here living in a chawal. So these two different mistaken identities are relieved by two different states of awakening. When one thinks of himself to be something else other than a human being, then that state is driven away by swapna uttitah, just by being awakened. Simply awakening and lying in the bed, one sees, oh, I am not something else. I am not a dwarf or I am not a bird flying in the sky. I am a human being. He comes to this conclusion that I am a human being. And then the second state, where one thinks Prime Minister, President, etc., is removed in the second state of awakening, that is Jagaran. When one wakes up and moves around, then he comes to know that I am not just a human being, but I am not also the President, I am not also the owner, I am just a middle class clerk living in a chawal. Right? But as a matter of fact, all these three states, it is explained, are Maya Matrani Vigyaya. One is thinking that when I am dreaming in the sleeping state, that itself is Maya, that itself is illusion. But here it is explained to Chitraketu Maharaj that all these three states, whether it is Shushupta, whether it is Swapna Uttita, or whether it is Jagaranadini, all these three states are Maya Matrani Vigyaya. You should know, Maharaj Chitraketu, all of these three states are Maya Matrani. They are simply states of illusion. So in the dream we were thinking that we were a bird flying in the sky or a President, that was definitely illusion. But when we got up in the second state of Swapna Uttita, we were thinking we are a human being, but that is also Maya Matrani. To think that one is a human being is also illusion, because one is not this material body at all. One is the spirit soul, the Atma. And in the Jagaranadini state, when one is thinking that, oh, I am not the Prime Minister, I am just a clerk working in an office, that is also Maya Matrani, that is also illusion. Because these are all identifications pertaining to the body. Prabhupada explains, one is a night dream and one is a daydream. Night dream is where I am thinking I am a bird flying in the sky, where I am thinking I am the president. And the daydream is I am thinking that I am this human being. Or daydream is I am thinking that I am the president. All of these states are Maya Matrani Vigyaya. Right. Simply illusions. Reality is that we are not this body. We are not in a night dream, nor are we in a daydream. We are a spirit soul apart from this material body. And as Srila Prabhupada says, that the material creation is the spirit soul's dream. Right. We are dreaming that we are this human body. We are dreaming that we are a clerk. Because actually, our identity is we are the soul, an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Supreme Lord face to face, it is explained why Dhruva Maharaj could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savai dhya yoga vipaka tivraya. His devotional service was tivraya. He had followed the instructions of his Guru Maharaj and tivraya, intensely, he was following the path given by him. Because of this tivrata, because of this intensity, he became yoga vipak. There is yoga apak and there is yoga vipak. Apaka means immature and vipaka means mature. By intensity of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj became yoga vipak. We may all be practicing bhakti yoga, but we are not saying Krishna face to face. Why? Because devotional service is not tivraya. And because it is not tivraya, it is still apak, immature. When devotional service is tivra, intense, then by the practice of intense devotional service, one becomes yoga vipak, mature in devotional service. And because of his maturity in devotional service, he could actually see bahisthitam tad avastham dadarsha. Dadarsha. Dhruva Maharaj could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Just like the sunlight is scattered everywhere. It is not tivraya. When the sunlight is focused through a lens, then the sunlight has the potency to burn a paper. In a boiler, big Babcock's Wilcox boiler, there is steam that is generated. But it is not focused. When the steam, same steam is confined and is focused through a pipe, it can run a steam engine. Right. There is water that is falling all the way through the mountain ranges, but it is not focused. When the same water is running from the mountain ranges is focused through a pipe, it can run an electric generator, a hydroelectric power station can function. So yes, unless there is focus, unless there is intensity, anything cannot get a task accomplished. Only when the sunlight is focused, only when the water is focused, only when the steam is focused, it can accomplish a task. Similarly, when devotional service is focused and intense, it can accomplish the task of giving us the audience of the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj could now see the Supreme Lord face to face. However, Dhruva Maharaj wanted to offer prayers to the Lord, but could not offer prayers. He did not know how to offer prayers. The Supreme Lord touched the forehead of Dhruva with his conch shell. And suddenly, from the lips of Dhruva started flowing nectarine rivers of prayers, which are a subject matter for great Vedantists to research. A 5-year-old boy was chanting prayers, which till date are being researched by great scholars and Vedantists and devotees. What was the first prayer that Dhruva Maharaj offered? Dhruva Maharaj said, Yonta pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeeva yatyakhila shakti dhara swadhamna anyam shahastat charana shravanatvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. My dear Lord, I am offering my humble obeisances unto you. Pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. My humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. I would like to tell you, my dear Lord, how I am offering these wonderful prayers unto you.
till now, till date, before I got your audience, your name is Akhila Shaktidhara. You are Akhila Shaktidhara. You possess several energies, several Shaktis. And two of your primary energies are Mayakhyaya, material energy. And secondly, Swadhamna, your spiritual energy, your internal potency. Till this day, my vacha, my words, my hasta, my hands, my charana, my feet, my shravana, my ears, twag, my sense of touch, adin, all my senses, prasuptan, were in a sleeping state. I was dreaming that I was working. I was dreaming that I am in action. But my dear Lord, I was simply in a sleeping state. Prasuptan. Does it mean that Dhruva Maharaj was in a sleeping state, sleeping all the time? No. Dhruva Maharaj was very angry with Suruchi had insulted. He was angrily walking by, which means his hands were working, his legs were working, his eyes were working. Yet he is saying that all of these senses of mine were in a sleeping state. Prasuptan. How is that? Which means, whenever the senses are engaged under Maya Khaya, the material energy, they are called in a sleeping state. Whenever the senses are engaged in material sense gratification, they are called to be in a prasupta or sleeping state. My dear Lord, you are Akhila Shaktidhara. I approached you, and by your mercy, now I am in contact with your Swadham, with your spiritual potency, with your internal potency. And what has happened? Sanjeevayati. Now there is a Sanjeevani Bhuti. Now what has happened? Each of my senses have actually become live. They have all come to an awakened state. Till now they were prasuptan, in a sleeping state. Right. Because they were under the material energy. But now that you have come in front of me, and now that I am in contact with your spiritual potency, Sanjeevayati, they are now all in an enlivened state. Therefore, Hasta Charana Shravanak Twagadin, with my hands, with my legs, with my sense of hearing, with my sense of touch, I am offering my obeisances unto you. Till now I was using all of these things for my sense gratification. Now I am using all of these things to offer obeisances to you. And Vacham. Till now my words were speaking all junk. But now, after coming in contact with Swadhamna, here I am offering my first prayer to you with Vacham. Right. So Dhruva Maharaj is very clearly accepting the fact here that before coming in contact with devotional service, all of one's activities are in a sleeping state. Prasuptan. Although all the senses are engaged, all of the senses are engaged in a sleeping state because they are engaged in sense gratification. But the moment one practices devotional service to the Lord and comes in contact with the internal potency of the Lord, then all of one's senses become enlivened. Sanjeevayati. And by these enlivened senses now, one is in an awakened state. Which means people who are walking on the street with their legs, moving their hands, are actually sleeping and dreaming. And devotees who are sitting here in the temple hall are actually in an awakened state because they are in contact with Swadham or the internal potency of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport very nicely that we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra begins with Hara. Why is that? Because all of our senses are in prasupta state. The moment we chant Hare, our senses come in an enlivened state, and then we are there to offer our consciousness to Krishna. Very often it doesn't appear like that. The moment we chant Hare, we go to the prasupta state externally. Right. But the fact of the matter is, Prabhupada explains, when one chants Hara, one's senses are enlivened, and then they can be offered unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, first is about illusion of one's identity and dream. One mistakes himself to be this material body, but Dhruva Maharaj is clearly saying that because of coming in touch with your internal potency, now all of my senses are enlivened. He is in the spiritual consciousness. Second is family relationships. Family relationships are an illusion, and family relationships are temporary unless they are Krishna conscious. So the Bhagavad explains, पुत्रदाराप्त बंधूनां संगम पांथ संगम अनुदेहं वियंतेते स्वप्न निद्रानुगो यथा। स्वप्न निद्रानुगो यथा, जस्ट लाइक वेन वन इज स्लीपिंग एंड वन इज ड्रीमिंग, इन अ ड्रीम वन में मेक सेवरल रिलेशनशिप्स, वन में मैरी, वन में हैव चिल्ड्रन, वन में बिल्ड अ बिग हाउस, एंड देर में बी सेवरल फैमिली रिलेशनशिप्स इन अ ड्रीम, बट देर आर टू क्वालिटीज ऑफ दिस रिलेशनशिप्स। नंबर वन, इट इज ऑल एन इल्यूजन, नॉट अ रियलिटी, एंड नंबर टू, इट इज टेम्पररी। इट इज एन इल्यूजन बिकॉज इट्स नॉट अ रियलिटी, इट्स सिंपली इन अ ड्रीम, एंड इट इज टेम्पररी बिकॉज एज सून एज वन गेट्स अप, वन फाइंड्स दैट ओ वेयर इज माई वाइफ, हियर इज अनदर वाइफ आई हैव, राइट, दिस वॉज सम अदर लेडी हु वॉज माई वाइफ, आई हैड सम अदर चिल्ड्रन, ऑल ऑफ दिस रिलेशनशिप्स वर टेम्पररी, फिनिश्ड विद द ड्रीम। सिमिलरली द भागवतम एक्सप्लेन्स, ऑल फैमिली रिलेशनशिप्स विदाउट कृष्णा एज द सेंटर, विदाउट स्पिरिचुअलिटी एज द सेंटर, आर एज इल्यूजरी एज इन अ ड्रीम। इन अ ड्रीम वन मे हैव अ ब्यूटिफुल वाइफ एंड द ब्यूटिफुल वाइफ मे कुक अ हैमबर्गर फॉर द हस्बैंड, राइट, बट इट्स ऑल एन इल्यूजन, इन रियलिटी दिस बर्गर डज नॉट एग्जिस्ट। Similarly, one may have a wife, children, etc., and the man is thinking that I may get pleasure from them, but the pleasure is like getting pleasure in a dream, illusory pleasure, if it is not based on Krishna consciousness. And secondly, it is all temporary. Anudeham viyantete. Just like one morning when one wakes up, one has a dream and he has had a particular wife and children. And in the next morning, he has another dream about another wife, another children, right? Similarly, the Bhagavatam explains, Anudeham Viyanti Ete. Anudeham. With every body, there is a different set of relatives, a different wife, different children. So all of these relationships are temporary and illusory. In the life of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj is also making this prayer unto the Supreme Lord. And what is he saying? What is real relationship? Who are our real relatives? And he is saying, Tena smarantatitaram priyamisha martyam ye chanvadha sutasuret griyatavitta ye tvabjanabha bhavadiya padaravinda saugandhya lubdharidaye shukrita prasanga. He is saying, my dear Lord, in this world, what is dear to a living being? Atitaram priyam, very dear to a living being. Suta, one's children. Surid, one's friends and relatives. Griha, one's house. Vitta, one's money. Daraha, one's wife. All of these things are very much dear to a living being. And a living being is thinking that I have all of this and I will enjoy my life in a very wonderful way. But I consider the association of your devotees to be real relatives. Why? Ye tvabjanabha bhavadiya padaravinda saugandhya lubdharidaye shukrita prasanga. Krita prasanga. The association of your devotees, what is the quality of your devotees? The quality of your devotees is saugandhya labdha. They have got and achieved the fragrance of your lotus feet, my dear Lord. And when they have achieved the fragrance of your lotus feet, coming in the association of such devotees, yena ati smaranti, one does not even remember his family, one does not even remember his material wife, his children, his home, his money, etc. Why? Because saugandhi labda. The fragrance that he has achieved, he is also transmitting that fragrance to whosoever comes in contact with him. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj is accepting that the real relationship is association of devotees. And in the association of those devotees who have achieved this fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord, all the other things become insignificant. But this does not mean, however, family life is condemned. Wife can be devotee, children can be devotee, and the association of such devotees can also give this padaravinda saugandhya, the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The third example that comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam about dream is,
the other different processes which are described in the Vedas. Srila Narad Muni is explaining in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one is engaging in fruitive activity and there are so many reactions to pious and sinful activities, these fruitive activities cannot be counteracted by fruitive activities. If one thinks I am committing this sin and by doing another pious activity this sin will be nullified, it is not possible. Just like if one is having a troublesome dream, one's troublesome dream cannot be counteracted by another troublesome dream or another hallucination. If I am dreaming that I am being chased by a tiger, another dream of another person that he is being chased by a tiger will not help that person to get out of the troublesome dream. The only way a person can be freed from a troublesome dream is he has to get up. He has to awaken himself from that dream state. Just like one dream cannot be counteracted by another dream, similarly, one fruitive activity cannot be counteracted by another fruitive activity. Just like in order to counteract a troublesome dream, one has to get up from his dream, similarly, in order to get rid of all fruitive activities, one has to get up to one's constitutional position, and that is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang, jiva jago, gaura chandra bole, kota nidra, jao maya, pishachi rakole. Get up to one's constitutional position that you are a servant of Krishna. Therefore, the Vedas also urge upon us, uttishta jagrita prapya varan nibodhaka. Get up, you are now in a dream state. You have now achieved a very important vara. You have got this human form of life. Get up and use it to cultivate Krishna consciousness. So unless one cultivates Krishna consciousness, one cannot counteract one's fruitive activities by karma kand or jnana kand. One thinks I have sinned and by cultivating some pious activities I will nullify that sin. Not possible. One thinks by cultivation of knowledge I can nullify the sins. Not possible. Just like one dream cannot be counteracted by another dream. But as soon as a person wakes up, all the trouble that was there in the dream is gone. Similarly, as soon as one takes up to Krishna consciousness, all the pious and sinful reactions are totally destroyed. Otherwise, simply living a pious life will not help. Like Madhvacharya, in his commentary to Gita, in his Gita Bhashya, Madhvacharya explains that if one lives a completely pious life, still he has to take 30 births minimum.
Right.
Completely pious life. No sin at all. A complete pious life assures one 30 births minimum. And then when one takes birth again, and one does not sin, still continues his pious life, another 30 births. In this way, the transmigration continues on and on and on. One can never be liberated from the cycle of birth and death if one simply engages in pious activity. And Hridayanand Maharaj explains what is pious and what is impious. It is so hard to determine what is pious and what is impious. If someone's house is on fire, and if a man goes and breaks a hole, makes a hole in the roof so that people can come out, it is considered as pious activity. And at other times when the house is not on fire, then one goes and makes a hole in the roof or breaks someone's window, will it be considered as a pious activity? No. Hridayanand Maharaj explains that if someone gives up the responsibility of his family, children, etc., that is considered absolutely condemned. And if someone gives up his family responsibilities and takes sannyas, then people go and offer his obeisances to them. So what is pious? What is impious? What is good? What is bad? It is very hard to decide. And therefore, unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, one simply thinks that I will counteract my pious activities or impious activities by karma kand, jnana kand. It is all a dream only. Trying to counteract a troublesome dream with another dream, with another hallucination. Dhruva Maharaj in his prayers is explaining, my dear Lord, you are like a kalpataru. You are like a desire-fulfilling tree. And there are three kinds of desires that living beings make unto you. But it is useless. One is, they want something material in return. They want nice money, nice home, etc. Because if you go to a kalpataru, then a kalpataru will fulfill all desires.
My dear Lord, you are like a Kalpataru. When people come to you and ask for some material benedictions, what are they asking for? Kunaka upabhogyam. They are simply asking for something to be enjoyed by this kunapa, this bag which is filled with mucus, bile, pus, etc., which is going to be finished. No use of asking for this. Second class of people, they come to you and they think that they'll go to the heavenly planets and everything will be nice. But, my dear Lord, antakasi lulitat patatam vimanat, just like an airplane, when it is filled with fuel, may go into the sky. But as soon as the fuel is over, has to come to the fuel refilling station. Similarly, all of these people fill in the fuel of their pious activities and go to the heavenly planets. And once the fuel of their pious activities is over, patatam vimanat, just like a viman, an airplane comes down to fill fuel, similarly, a person has to come down again to render pious activities and go to heavenly planets again. So that is also of no use. And thirdly, people are thinking that the bliss of Brahmananda is the greatest. One may practice Jnana Yoga and go to Brahman. But no, my dear Lord. The bliss of Katha Shravanena Yasyat, the bliss of hearing your glories in the association of your devotees is so much that Brahmananda is nothing compared to that. Which means Dhruva Maharaj is clearly establishing that only when one awakens to one's Krishna consciousness, then one can get rid of all one's pious and impious activities. Not simply by Jnana Kand or Karma Kand. He has said not to approach the Lord for material desires, not to approach the Lord for going to heavenly planets, not to approach the Lord for Brahman liberation, because none of these will help one. They are like using one dream to counteract another dream. The fourth example that comes is, it was given by one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and he was explaining that just like if one is thirsty, sometimes when one is thirsty, one may go to sleep. And he is thirsty, he is not able to quench his thirst. In the dream, this person is taking 10-15 liters of water and is continuing to drink 10-15 liters of water in a dream. But drinking 10-15 liters of water in a dream is of no use. His thirst is not quenched. But as soon as he gets up, as soon as he is awakened, then he drinks one glass of water and his thirst is quenched. Which means in a dream state, you drink 10 liters or 100 liters of water, actual thirst cannot be quenched. When one is awake, one may drink just one glass of water and his thirst is completely satisfied. Similarly, material life is like a dream. And in this material state, no matter how much one tries to satisfy himself, it is like drinking tens and hundreds of liters in a dream. Cannot satisfy one's actual thirst. But when one comes to real knowledge, then just a little bit of knowledge, just a little bit of devotional service rendered, can immediately satisfy oneself. Just like just a little glass of water drunk, can immediately quench one's thirst. Jayadvait Maharaj was at a question answers booth, and I always like to tell the story. And he was preaching very hard that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. And there were two very elephantine ladies, huge ladies, fat ladies, they were walking by. And when they heard that we are not the bodies, we are the souls, they said, thank God. Because they were such huge, they were having a trouble accepting the fact that their bodies, they were not able to take their bodies. But as soon as they heard this fact that we are not the body, we are the soul, they got some solace. That okay, we are something else other than these bodies, huge bodies. Right? So, just a little transcendental knowledge can immediately satisfy oneself. It is very interesting. The Supreme Personality of Godhead had benedicted Dhruva Maharaj with all what he had wanted. Right? Dhruva Maharaj was given what he had desired for. The Lord had benedicted him with five things. First is, the Lord had satisfied his revengeful attitude towards his stepmother, Suruchi, and his brother Uttam. Because in the future, Suruchi and Uttam would be dead. Right. Uttam would be killed by a yaksha, and Suruchi, in searching for him, would be bitten by a snake and she would be dead. The revengeful attitude that Dhruva had in his heart
was satisfied by the Lord.
Secondly, he had desired a position greater than his great-grandfather Brahma. And that was also given by the Lord. The pole star, the Dhruva Loka, was awarded to Dhruva Maharaj. Thirdly, Dhruva Maharaj was given an opportunity to rule this material world for 36,000 years. Fourthly, he was given a benediction by the Lord that he would perform great sacrifices and would become a very reputed king. That was the benediction. He would become famous as a king. And fifthly, after finishing all material enjoyment with unbridled senses, he would go back to the spiritual world.
Right.
To Dhruva Loka, which is non-different from Shweta Dweep. And in spite of all of these benedictions, just imagine, so many benedictions, he had come to the forest for that. Yet Dhruva Maharaj was not satisfied. Right. So much he had got. In dream you may drink hundreds of liters of water, but not satisfied. And when one is awakened, then one glass of water satisfies him. Dhruva Maharaj had got all of his desires fulfilled, and yet Dhruva Maharaj was not satisfied with this. He got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, Swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. I just got your darshan. Why do I need all of these other things now? Kacham vichinvan apidivya ratnam. I was running after thousands of broken pieces of glass, but one divya ratna is sufficient to satisfy me. All of these benedictions are of no use to me. Swamin kritarthosmi. I am completely satisfied simply by your darshan. Dhruva Maharaj was given so many benedictions, he was not satisfied. But when he came to his awakened state and just the darshan, audience of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was completely satisfied by this. The fifth analogy that comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that of the soul and the super soul and a dream. And Srila Prabhupada explains that just like sometimes a man is dreaming that his head is cut off. And his head is cut off and his head is hung on the wall. And the man is actually seeing that his head is cut off, hung on the wall. Now how can a man see that his head is hung on the wall? Because if his head is on the wall, he does not have the eyes to see. So Prabhupada explains, sometimes in a dream a man sees that his head is cut off and is hanging on the wall and is actually seeing this. This is a big hallucination. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, similarly sometimes people think that the soul and the super soul is one. I am God. To think oneself to be God is a big hallucination. One has the knowledge that one is subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. But just like one thinks that his head is hanging on the wall and he is seeing that, similarly, in spite of having this knowledge, he thinks himself to be God. Although he has the knowledge, he is thinking himself to be God. Just like a man, although his head is cut off, he is thinking that he is seeing his head on the wall. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was benedicted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, got such high knowledge, such extreme degree of knowledge, that knowledge is explained to be Paratma Nirnaya. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, what is Paratma Nirnaya? Paratma Nirnaya means to understand the difference between the soul and the super soul. The impersonalists are thinking that the soul and the super soul is one. I am God. But a devotee understands the difference between the soul and the super soul and understands that the soul is simply an eternal servant of the super soul God. This is called as Paratma Nirnaya. Dhruva Maharaj had served his spiritual master, Sri Narad Mahamuni, Sri Narad Muni, with great devotion, with great surrender, and the conclusion was Paratma Nirnaya. He was now able to understand that he was a soul separate from the super soul, unlike an impersonalist who, like the head cut off, is thinking that the head is hanging on the wall. Who, although he has the knowledge, is thinking that he is God. The sixth analogy that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam about dream is that a person may be sleeping and he is dreaming, and when a person gets up from sleep, he sits and he continues to meditate on that dream. Just like in my sleep, I may dream that I am a king, and then when I get up, I am awakened, but now I am meditating. Oh, I am a king. How I have a queen. How I have a big palace. So the Bhagavatam explains that just like a person who after wakes up, after he gets up and still continues to meditate on his dream, similarly, a person may get up from his material condition state and may come to the spiritual state, may start practicing yoga, may start practicing bhakti, but still continues to meditate on material sense gratification. A yogi who is continuing to meditate on material sense gratification is like a person who has awakened from his sleeping state and is continuing to meditate on his dream. What is the use of meditating on a dream? Similarly, a yogi who has given up material sense gratification and is now in an awakened state is meditating again on his material sense gratification is useless. Therefore, it is important that one must, as a devotee, continue meditating on Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was angry at the Yakshas, Swayambhu Manu came to pacify Dhruva Maharaj. And when Swayambhu Manu gave several arguments why Dhruva Maharaj should not indiscriminately kill the Yakshas. One argument he gave was, only one Yaksha killed your brother Uttama, so why you are killing so many hundreds of arguments? There are several such arguments he gave. And one argument he gave was, my dear Dhruva, you are a great devotee of the Lord. You are Rishikesh Anuvartinam. All of your senses are now engaged in the service of the Lord. You are a Bhakti Yogi. Why do you now behave like a materialistic person again? Just like a yogi, he has given up all material sense gratification and is engaged in service to the Lord. Why once again return to material sense gratification? My dear Dhruva, you are following the path of Lord Rishikesha. You have given up all indiscriminate violence to wild living beings. So as a devotee of the Lord, why are you once again engaging in violence? And finally, the seventh analogy that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is about one's previous births. Just like one does not remember, if one is dreaming tonight, he does not remember in his dream his previous dreams or his previous daydreams. It is a fresh dream every night. It is a fresh daydream every night. Just like in a dream, one does not remember one's previous dream. Similarly, in this daydream of ours, one does not remember his previous lives. And one argument is posed in the purport. Someone may say, no, but in one's dream, one may sometimes remember his previous dream. Just like I may think that I am the king in my dream, but I have also previously remembered that I am a king. Previously also I have dreamt that I am a king. So in my current dream, I may have a previous remembrance of my previous dream, that I was a king. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is the mystic power of Jati Smara. Some people have the mystic potency of Jati Smara and therefore they are able to remember their previous lives. Very often devotees are asked questions, how is it that people are able to remember their previous lives? And we give logical answers. But there is a mystic potency called Jati Smara. So by the mystic potency of Jati Smara, one may be able to remember his previous lives. Just like in a current dream, one may remember a previous dream. But most times in a current dream, we do not remember our previous dreams. Similarly, in our current lives, most times we do not remember our previous lives. So, in this way, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, dream is being compared to several different principles of devotional service. And we saw how these principles are connected to Dhruva Maharaj's life. So, also Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that and this entire material creation is Mahavishnu's dream. Right. Actually, Mahavishnu is dreaming and Prabhupada is quoting, Yaha Karanar Nava Jale Bhajati Sma Yoga. This material creation is Mahavishnu's dream and factual creation is a spiritual world. Prabhupada explains, real existence is that of the spiritual world. This material existence is dream for Mahavishnu. This is also corroborated by philosophers like Aristotle, philosophers like Socrates, and they explain that there is once a material cave. In their writings they have explained there is a material cave and a person goes into the material cave which is filled with darkness, and on the walls of this cave there are several fire silhouettes, so reflections of fire, and this person in the cave is chained by shackles. Somehow or the other, when he gets some help, he is relieved of the shackles. He comes out of this cave, and as soon as he comes into the light, out of darkness, he is practically blinded. He cannot see anything. And then, after he stays in the light for some time and gets accustomed to light, then he can see his actual form, and then he can see the form of all people around him. And His Holiness Swotra Swami Maharaj is explaining the one-to-one Vedic reference to this particular principle, which is explained by Aristotle and later by Socrates. It is explained that this material world is just like this dark cave, which is explained by Socrates. And the living entity is like this human being who enters into this dark cave. And the fire silhouettes on the walls of the dark cave are like the different illusions the living entity has, that I am this human being, I am president, and so on and so forth. And then when he gets the human help of a great devotee, his shackles of material bondage are cut off. He comes into light. But when he comes into light, he still cannot see himself, he still cannot see the Lord. Therefore the Upanishads praise, Hiranamayena Patrena, please remove this blindness of light, and then I can actually see the Supreme Lord. Then I can actually see my own self. Then I can see what is my relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, in the Vedas, there is a description of a Brahmapuri. Brahmapuri means that Puri, that village which exists in Brahman. Which means Brahman is not the end. Brahmapuri means the village within Brahman. The place within Brahman. That is Golok Vrindavan. The spiritual world. The factual world. One time Jayadvait Maharaj went and said to Srila Prabhupada, actually Prabhupada was telling Jayadvait Maharaj that everything, whatever I am doing is nothing. I am simply sitting here and dreaming. Right. Actually it's all of you who are doing something. I am not doing anything. Because of you this society has come into existence. And Srila Prabhupada, Jayadvait Maharaj replied to Srila Prabhupada and said, yes Srila Prabhupada, definitely. You are dreaming and everything is happening, but your dream is like the dream of Mahavishnu. Just like Mahavishnu is dreaming and the whole material creation is coming into existence, similarly you are dreaming and the whole ISKCON society has come into existence. And just like when Mahavishnu dreams and the material world comes into existence and everybody is living in this material world, similarly you are dreaming and ISKCON comes into existence and we are all living in that ISKCON society. Right? So factually speaking, only by the great devotee's desire, like the desire of Srila Prabhupada, this ISKCON society has manifested. Just like by the desire of Mahavishnu, the entire material world is manifested. One swapna, one dream of Mahavishnu is to create the material world. Right? And in this material world, everyone is bound. And one dream of the Supreme Lord is how to liberate this people who are existing in this material creation. Like Govind Prabhu was explaining once, that there is one famous slogan these days, Mera Sapna Sabka Apna. Right. People are thinking that my dream will become everyone's dream. Right. I want that someone has a mobile phone and the whole world will be having a mobile phone. But only those who have money actually get this mobile phone. Only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can say, Mera Sapna Sabka Apna. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dream. Mahavishnu had a dream and the material world was created. Living entities were bound. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dream how to deliver these souls in the material creation, and this dream actually came into existence. What was the dream of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Prithivite ache jata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoye be mora naam. And Srila Prabhupada actually fulfilled the dream of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching this mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world, and actually Mera Sapna Sabka Apna. Now everyone is actually being able to chant the holy name without paying any money for it. Without any money, without any prior qualification, people are able to chant the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.